Give your best to the master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Wrote Howard Benjamin Groos in 1902, and his so-called song entitled Give of Your Best to the Master. The enemy of the course would rejoice if we were to abandon fundamental biblical teaching on stewardship and good sanctification of giving. It would be a great victory for the kingdom of evil if we were to remain silent on matters that related to the growth and the spiritual beings of the children of God. In recent years, a number of theologians and biblical commentators have questioned the passivity and the lack of engagement of religious leaders on exposing the dangers of false teaching regarding giving and offering in the church. When analyzing the topic of giving within the church in the 21st century, ones who have wisdom would clearly notice that there are two extreme avenues that need to be avoided. One is the disposition of some churches to constantly talking about money over and over without solid biblical teaching, from which has emerged the idea of prosperity gospel. A theology that promotes wealth over salvation, money over good spiritual gifts. The prosperity gospel has created so much trouble within the church, and this misconception of trying to portray the church as a place where people can come and then accumulate wealth is wrong, is unbiblical, and we need to denounce that. The idea of giving to God so that you can become richer is not biblical. The idea of giving to God so that you can avoid suffering has nothing to do to the teaching of Jesus. The idea of giving to God so that you can become wealthier has nothing to do with worshiping, has nothing to do with understand what the sacrifice of the cross means. In fact, when we talk about blessing, both in the New and the Old Testament, it has nothing to do with money in first place. We need to denounce that, and we need to understand that giving is not about what I can get from God, but giving is about honoring and acknowledging the blessing of God. The other extreme is the choice of the church or some churches not to talk about money, giving, donation, or offering due to fear of secular criticism or comments. That lead the congregation to become ignorant on matters relating to giving to God and good stewardship within the church. So now, what do we need to do to avoid those two extremes? Because none of them is what the Bible is teaching us and asking us to do. My brothers and sisters, the answer is clear and loud. The only way to overcome those two extremes is to bring the idea of giving, donation, and offering back to the good old teaching, good old biblical teaching. First of all, to overcome that, we need to consider a couple of examples. First and foremost, we need to remind the church, remind our brothers and sisters that giving is an act of worship. Giving has nothing to do about, okay, let me see what I can get from the Lord. In fact, we as human beings, as mortal, we are too little to manipulate God. Because God is infinite. Because God is all-knowing, all-powerful, is immanent and transcendent. Those surpass our understanding. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, we see that Apostle Paul is telling the Christians that giving and offering should be a sacrifice, a pleasing and living sacrifice to God. The book of Leviticus talks about offering, all type of offering, in a very detailed way to encourage, to help the people understand that giving is something that they should not take that lightly. They should have a lot of consideration when they are giving to the Lord. They should understand that giving to the Lord is not just flowing something on the plate, but it's an act of worship. And David also expressed that in a couple of psalms. For example, when we read Psalm 103, when we read Psalm 51, we can hear the psalmist talking about that, expressing his heart for the Lord and how he wants to worship the Lord with what he has. Then he said, then there will be righteous sacrifice, whole burnt offering to delight you, then bold would be offered on your altar, according to Psalm 51. My friends, let us just take a quick look at the passage that was read this morning, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's see what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us about giving in the church. First of all, we can break this passage into two big blocks or two big paragraphs. We can break it down into verse 9, verse 1 to 5. And the big title for that would be the willing giver. If you are willing to just read verse 1 to 5, keep this idea in mind, the willing giver. Somebody who is very happy and joyful, who has this willingness to give without being forced, without any coercive measure. That's the idea. According to William Barclay's commentary, there are four ways in which a man may give a gift. The first one, he said, that he may give the gift as a duty. As a duty, he may discharge the claim of generosity, but to do so has to pay an account or send a remittance to a tax collector. This is not a good idea. It's just giving in a very poor way, very poor manner. And he goes forward by saying, he may give simply to find self-satisfaction. When the motive is just to show that, okay, I have this emptiness in me and I just want to give the poor, or I just want to give somebody else that doesn't have as much as I do, and then just to feel good, the Lord doesn't take any praises or any pleasure in that. And the third idea about how a man might give a gift is, he may give from motives of prestige. For example, in the ancient times, kings would do that. They would decide to give the best gift that they have to another king just to tell tell them, you know what? I'm more powerful than you. Look at what I'm able to offer you. I'm a king. I can give you this little town. I can give you gold and diamond. This idea of giving is not pleasing to God. And we need to reject it. And the fourth idea that Barclays mentioned about how a man might giving is he may decide to give from pure altruistic desire under the influence of love. He put it very well by saying that under the love's impulsions to give because one cannot help giving. To give because the sign of a soul in need waken a desire that cannot be filled. In fact, this is exactly what the Lord did for us. It was because he so loved the world that he gave his only son. John 3:16, and we see that. The brothers and sisters, this is exactly what Paul is trying to tell the people of the church. He's talking to two churches, the Macedonian and the Corinthians. One thing that you need to notice that Paul is not shy about talking about giving because he knows the maturity of the Christian. And I think the same could be, the same is true for Elim Chapel, a church that has such a big and powerful testimony. We shouldn't have any fear of talking about giving because there is no manipulation. And we want to be transparent about the way that we are managing and caring for the money because it's not for the money of the church. It is an offering to the Lord. And one thing that you need to know, the way that one decide to manage or talk about money is a sign of spiritual maturity. I want you to keep that in mind. And also, we need to understand that we as human beings, there's nothing that we can really do to pay the price of the cross. There is nothing that we can do. And the second block of the passage, that would be the principle of generosity, from verse 6 to 15. Barclay put that very well by outlining it in a very simple way. He said, it promises not the wealth of things, but the wealth of the heart and the spirit. This is what happens when you decide to give generously without being forced, without any coercive measure. This is what happens. It's become a wealth for the heart and the spirit. And one thing that we need to remind you, my brothers and sisters, is both the Old and the New Testament, the way that they talk about offering in a very sacred and holy way. This is what we need to encourage the church to do. Offering is an act of worship. Remember the adoration of the three wise men. Remember the gifts that they brought to the Lord, to our King Jesus. Gold, myrrh, and frankincense. And they do that in a such respectful and the reverence for the Lord is unprecedented. This is what we need to continue to do in our offering. And Barclay advised us to continue to follow the model that the Apostle Paul is outlined for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. He's like, the idea is not to give to get, but once we decide to give with an open heart, will be rich in love. One who decides to invest in things that are eternal, they will be rich in spirit. And they will be rich towards God. He will be rich on things that are not corruptible. That is very encouraging, and that is very important for us to understand. Dear brothers and sisters, we need to see worship. We need to see offering as an act of worship. And also, one thing that we need to avoid doing is we need to move away from the bad theology that promote prosperous gospel. It is not good to tell people that if they give, they're going to get healed. They won't have any problem. First of all, if I'm doing that, the message that I'm sending is bad. Because I'm trying to distance myself from the other people. All I'm saying is, I'm healthy because I'm purer than you. Because I give my tithe. Because I give money. And you are sick because you're not giving. That is not the message of the gospel. And thirdly, this point that I'm going to make may not be emotionally satisfactory. But I'd like you to understand the importance of this point. Giving to God is a sign of detachment. Giving to God is a sign of detachment. Dear brothers and sisters, the things that we have shouldn't take the first place in our life. They're meant to help us to abide and fully acknowledge the goodness of the Lord, to recognize His compassion, His love for us. When we give the money, the things, the car that we have, the house that we have, when we give them the first place in our life, we are just becoming idolatrous. We are just worshiping them. They become counterfeit God in our life. We don't want that to happen. By giving, I'm telling to God that, you know, Lord, you are more important to me than anything else. I'm willing to give to you whatever I have. He is what I have. Those are blessings. Those are things that you give me to manage. But you only deserve praise and glory. And you detach yourself from those things. And this is where you begin to understand that giving is not burdensome. Giving is not forceful. It's just joyful. Because you understand that those things, they don't have the first place in your life. We need to continue to encourage the church to do that. And also, refusing to give is an act of disbelief. We don't want to be like Smeagol in Lord of the Ring. Just hold on to that, my precious. No. We want to trust the Lord with what we have. We want to be able to understand that nothing is impossible to God. Everything that is in this earth, in this universe, they belong to the Lord. We don't have to worry about giving to the Lord. Giving to the Lord is an opportunity for human being to be part of something great, to be part of the work of the Lord. Remember in Malachi 3 verse 10, the Lord has invited the people to bring whole tithe into the household, that so there may be food in the house of the Lord. I think we've been doing that. We've been doing that, making sure we take care of the people of the church, of the people of the city. We need to continue to do that. My friends, don't miss the point. Giving to God has nothing to do about trying to manipulate God. Has nothing to do about trying to get something from God. God is not a vendor machine. God is above everything. Give to God as an act of worship and praise. My friends, go on a journey with that God. Our greatest profit is to redeem a soul for the kingdom of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, our duty as Christians is to invest what we have so that we can bring back the daughters and the son of the promise to the kingdom of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, I'd like to encourage you to understand that there are so many people that are trying to talk about the church, but they don't have the best interest of the church. Our great-great-grandfather fought hard to keep the church moving. The people before us fought hard to keep the church moving. Our intention is to do the same. With whatever we have, with everything that we have, we will continue to worship the Lord. We will continue to please the Lord with everything that we have. Because we know the importance of the church as an institution. And we know what the church meant for the world. We want to keep that moving, dear brothers and sisters. We intended to do that. In fact, I would invite you to the same song that I used to open this message. Give of your best to the master. Give of your best to the master. Give him first place in your heart. Give him first place in your service. Consecrate every part. Give, and to you will be given. God, his beloved son, gave, gracefully seeking to serve him, giving the best that you have. May the Lord bless you.